99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. 22 minutes past 12. We're happy to have you here. Hope you had a very beautiful weekend. Hope you're fine. Your family is good. You feel bright and also beautiful. It's another work week on radio. The sun rises here. You're on the sunny side. My name is Joyce. We're 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's another work week. And of course, conversations that affect us, conversations that apply to us. Conversations that kind of probe us or nudge us into different aspects of our lives. Certainly are things we'd like to have here on radio. All right, so first, the social sentiment is going to be our first exploration this afternoon. I want to explore the social sentiment of foreign education. Foreign education. Particularly when you meet people who maybe are driven by ambition or people who believe that there is something the world holds for them. Many times when you ask those kinds of persons, they always almost have that thing to go get a foreign education. Yeah, go overseas, study, come back. And I've been thinking, what edge does a foreign education give you? I mean, it depends on... So the interesting thing about this conversation is that you don't know until you ask someone who wants it. You have to know who wants it, and then you ask them, so why do you want it? What do you think it's going to do for you? I spoke to a young guy who wanted to study robotics and aeronautics engineering, and he said to me that he understands that if he studies that, he'll have to go work overseas. And he looked like he had a case. I have a friend who studied in Russia. He studied something engineering and something. Then came back to Nigeria. And he was one of those Nigerians who had that vision or mindset of, I'm coming back to my country. I want to make it work. We're going to make it work. We're going to put in the effort and, you know, ignite the fire. And together we can be one great Nigeria. I've gotten some education. That's a great weapon. I can wield it. He came here, spent 3 years. The first 2 years, he looked like he was trying to manage the situation. By the third year, he sunk into frustration. Off on a break. We'll be right back. When we come back, I'm going to give you the end part of that gist and then open up the telephone line. So a conversation about the edge of a foreign education on the sunny side. We'll be right back. So we're back, and we're back to this conversation of what's the edge, because I don't know whether it's an illusion or maybe there's really, really something. I feel to some degree, Nigerians are very intelligent, Nigerians are smart, and Nigerians do quite well. And that's not me giving you an undeserved credit. That credit is yours to have. Nigerians do very well in academics, in the world of academics. But maybe there isn't an illusion to, you know, getting foreign education. Maybe there is. And for different people, it's different things. So I was telling you before the break that my friend sunk into depression by his third year, and he told me that he had to go back. So let me also state that when he was sharing with me his drive to come back and fight and make it work, and I've met quite a number of Nigerians driven like that. Honestly, they just believe that Nigeria can work. Like, if I put my mind to it and you put your mind to it and we put our heads together, we can do this and do that and magic. When he told me, I nodded, you know, in agreement, and I said, yeah, but no. And he's like, no. We can do it. We can. Like, we can. Okay. And 2 years, I think after the first year he came back, he was looking for a job. Second year, he got a job. He didn't like the job. In fact, he thought his boss was a heifer. You know, he'll call me up and give me stories about what was happening at the office and how his boss was acting and how his interaction with society makes him feel sad. I'm like, well, first of all, this isn't Russia, but maybe this is something better than Russia because this is home. So I'm not sure why you're sad. We might need to, you know, get you more friends, take you out more, take you more to parties. I don't know. How many women can you handle? 5? Or is it women or something else? Like, we need to bring a little spark into your existence. And maybe then you can find some rhythm to your life here. And I thought he was joking. And he worked there for about a year. And he called me up and he's like, I have to go back. I can't. I'm like, whatever happened to that dream? He's like, yeah, you guys are not ready. And I said, like, by the third year, he would call me and say, I'm depressed. I'm depressed. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm like, well, you have a job. Just stay on the job. And just, he says, I can't. I'm losing my mind. And he woke up one day, told me that he was going back to Russia. Guess what this sucker did? My friend goes to Russia. Now, he's done with his master's program in Russia. And then he turned down a job in Russia. I think that was also part of his frustration, that he got a job in Russia, but he turned it down because of his Nigerian dream. He turned down the job. He went back to Russia and was supposed to do his PhD. Instead, he took leave off school, went to the U.S. and started working. Then he calls me from the U.S. First of all, I'm looking at the number. I'm like, this looks like an American number. And I pick up, like, hey, where are you calling me from, Euroma? And he's like, oh, I'm in the U.S. So he explains to me that he just left Russia. He's taking like two-year academic break and he's working in the U.S. and he'll go back to America. And I'm like, so what are you doing in the U.S.? He's like, working. I'm like, where do you live? He's like, I'm in D.C. I'm like, dude, where do you work? And he worked with Amazon. He worked with Amazon and kind of gave me a breakdown of his life. You know, he gave me a breakdown of his life. His rent is like $2,500 a month. So I'm thinking, dude, you just went there. How much did they pay you at the Amazon if your rent is like $2,000 plus a month? And then, you know, he gave me some other gist. And I said, aren't you going back to Russia? He's like, yeah, I'll go back. I was like, I don't know if I'll go back, man. This money is good. Like, you know, I'm making money now. And right now, he told me that he's applying for some kind of program with the tech side of Amazon. So if you know already, the Amazon guy has like a spacecraft. They have like a technology arm of Amazon where they're going to space and creating humans and bioengineering and all that. Exactly. So he says he's applying to that because that's pretty much what he studied in Russia. And then he says, so when are you coming? I'm like, well, first of all, America hasn't quite been my ambition. So it's not about when am I coming. I wanted to find out whether he was happy. And I said, so are you happy now because you were frustrated here? He says, I'm not there yet, but I'm not doing badly. I'm better off than where I was. It's like, you guys, man. How you guys? And then he goes on about we guys. And I thought about we guys for a minute. But maybe there are many things that make us guys. You know, there are many things to us. And there isn't just one thing. We're dynamic people, from our faiths to our creed, to our persuasions, to our motivations, to our desires, to our ambition, and then to our definition of life full of luxury. Like, there's layers to us. And then there is the things that we call sane, normal, or abnormal. There's just layers to us. So I think today I want to focus on the edge. Now, don't take my friend's story for the perfect reference. The only reason I'm telling you that is actually because whatever it was he studied in Russia, we don't quite have an industry for that yet in Nigeria. So, yeah, I can understand his frustration not doing something that you love to do. But when we look at it in academic terms, in straight line terms, is there any edge? Now, not the benefit now. not the benefit. Because I remember I heard some people, some ladies back from the UK to Nigeria, one of them actually said something like, if you have a foreign education, chances are you might get a job in Nigeria. And I said, oh, really? Is that the thing? That shouldn't be. She's like, well, yeah, there is the supposition that if you have foreign certificate, then maybe you're better schooled. You know, you're better educated. And I'm like, but that's not necessarily accurate. And she's like, well, yeah, that's really what I'm happy about, being back here. So I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, so you see that. So for her, that's maybe her own benefit, quote unquote, edge. But if we had to look at it holistically, 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. What edge is there to foreign education? Because I don't know whether your kids have told you. I know your kids want foreign education. I think they see it somewhere on Twitter, Instagram. I don't know where they see it, but somewhere in the... Oh, sometimes it's even half the kids. Sometimes it's the parents now. It's the parents that just think that, look, I'm shipping... Even if I have to export you as a slave... Even if I'm exporting you as a slave somewhere out of here, I'll labor, I'll toil, I'll bend my back, I'll break it. Anything to make sure that 5 years from now, if we call you, your Timothy Osibajo Clinton, Harvard graduate, or maybe Stanford, or some, like, your father would hate to see anything else. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Let's talk. Sorry, I lost you. My name is Joyce. Good afternoon. This is Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Yeah, Joyce, good afternoon.
We're happy to have you. Good afternoon. What's your name?
My name is Alfili. I enjoy your program a lot.
Thank you very much.
You are one hell of a person. I laugh a lot of it every time you are on.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you smile when I'm on.
I say I laugh. I don't smile. I laugh. I just say, oh, this job.
Okay.
Amy.
Thank you.
Wonderful topic you're discussing there.
Yeah.
We brought up. The issue is that, like you rightly said, Nigerians are very educated. I mean, very wonderful, very intelligent. We are. That is the truth. That's why we go out there and we're doing it. In fact, I think, what do you call it? Statistics has it, or research has it, that in the U.S., the most highly educated people there are Nigerians.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I heard that.
So what's the problem? Because I don't... Is there really an edge? I don't think so. Maybe because we don't have our economy as it should be. Was there really an edge?
Yes, that is it. I think that is it. And then most times it all happens in the country that employers of labor, even the government, once you have a foreign education, they feel that you have an edge. And then for the citizenry, okay, we have also this issue of complex. There's issue of complex.
I mean, you can't blame them too much. It was 500 years of slavery. That takes a toll on you.
Okay.
So is there really an edge? Is there really anything there? Is there something there? Or is it just our mindset?
It's our mindset. There's no edge. Like I said, we all agree that we are very intelligent people. You go there, you are doing very well academically.
Okay.
You can stand anybody from any part of the world. And then we come back here to the country. It's not because we don't have, what do you call it? Like, I think...
Our sectors are not developed. Okay, thank you very much for calling Nigeria Info. We're happy. Thank you very much. Good afternoon to you. What's your name? Hello? Hello? Welcome to Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. How are you? Turn off your radio, please. Thank you very much for calling.
Yes.
Turn off your radio.
I've done that, Jeff.
Thank you. What's your name?
This is Pastor Ladipo calling from Orile Ijomu.
We're happy to have you.
Yeah, I think the major challenge there is exposure.
Exposure.
And, yes. Mm. And you know, this colonial mentality is still part of the challenges we are facing today. Now, even in every sector, not just the traditional sector, you see this inferiority complex. Once somebody hears that this person is from abroad, is from overseas, you see everybody will begin to fall in line. And somehow look as if this person has come with a superior knowledge. So it is not like that. I think one of the major things here is exposure. And that is why sometimes most of the employers, they prefer to accept those people more because they feel that they are exposed to better equipment and better educational environment for our people.
So there is no edge? No edge?
Yes, there is no edge, really. There is no single edge, really.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Thank you. I know foreign educated people now will be like, are you joking? Do you mean I wasted my 4 years in London or the US? Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Nigeria Info.
My name is Adania.
Welcome to Nigeria Info.
Joyce, I think there's a slight urge in the sense that when you study abroad, they are more practical in their teaching.
Okay.
Yes, they use practical terms. I'm a HR professional and I have children too in the university.
Yeah.
So what basically happens is that we do a lot of cramming, so we understand the practical side. I remember when I went to study and once they give me an assignment, I'll just, you know, give them back what they gave me. The professor will say, no, we know you know the theories, just give us the concepts, you want to put it into practice. And it took me time to really grasp that.
Okay.
And that's the difference with our own system and the system they use over there.
Okay.
And I hate it so much when I know that my kids are busy developing another man's country because they give them, they will say, okay, they're having, I'll use an example, there is a wind problem here and the trash, each time the trash comes, the wind comes, heavy wind, and the trash can just empty, it carries the trash and empties the content on the road. So we need you people to come up with ideas how we can solve this problem, and they tell you the budget for it and things you can use. And these children are cracking their brains to develop, and it hurts so much to see what happens. And there are so many things, they put ideas in the head of the children and they expect the children to come up with those ideas.
Okay.
And that's the problem with our system. So we're yet to. So we're book inclined. So we read and we pour it out. So we've not started implementing or practicing those things we're reading.
Ah.
That's where the problem is. But there's no problem with us. And the truth about Nigeria is that because we already understand it, by the time we get to a new system, we understand it. We may struggle for a while.
Yeah.
By the time we study and understand what's happening, we hit the ground running and we become tops over there. So basically, there's a slight edge. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you very much. Edge gets a vote on the sunny side. Welcome to Nigeria Info. What's your name?
Hello?
Hello, lady. Good afternoon. Speak up for us. Turn off your radio. Tell us your name. Go ahead.
Hello.
Fine. Thank you very much.
Yes, how are you?
Fine. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. You know, I see this question. I like it very well. You know, people that went to school in Lagos, in Nigeria especially, they will not value. Okay, look at the people that have gone to school. How many of them get job?
Okay.
Okay, now, if he is like abroad, not the person, abroad, they're great. Not the person will go to Togo now. You can't say, no. No, Ghana. Ghana says try. But if you don't see America, London, Europe.
Have you paid Ghana school fees before? 10 years ago, my father was going to send... No, was it 10 or 15 years ago? My father was going to send me to Legon. It was $5,000, like about 15 years ago.
Joyce, you are asking me if I have paid Ghana University. You asked me if I've reached the gates before. That's the thing.
Yeah.
What am I trying to say?
I'm just saying, don't look down on Ghana. That's it.
I am not looking down on Ghana now.
Oh, okay.
It's Nigeria that brings all that stuff to that level.
Okay.
See, if you bring, like for example, now, three people going to submit CVs, and you see University of Lagos, University of Benin, Polytechnic, and now you now see another person, only one person, now they have put University of Cambridge. Who will you employ, Joyce?
You can't be asking me, because I'm asking you, honey.
Oh, they asked me.
Yeah. Okay. So why would you choose the other person? What do you suppose is the edge that the other person brings?
That person that went to school in Cambridge.
Why?
The mindset is telling me that person, the way they teach that. Because can you imagine our university doesn't have lab? Our university don't have lab. But if you go abroad, their lab is complete. Our don't have lab. What are we telling me?
Right.
A doctor from Nigeria will come and submit CV in their lab. He doesn't know anything about chemistry.
He knows. Oh, this is disrespectful.
You can't be the big person that I brought and bring him. Let me just tell you the truth. Let us tell the truth of our truth. The university owned that is in Cambridge know better than me because they have all your assessments. I don't know what you, I don't know if you understand me.
Look, I understand, but I disagree. You know?
Okay. Okay,
let somebody else call and support your motion.
Wait. Hello, Joyce. See you now. Which school you go? Oh, yeah.
I'm foreign educated, yes. But, you know, it's not
Joyce, see you when you're foreign educated. Sometimes if you talk like this, I don't put here, then I don't go here. But maybe foreign, no, there, I go, let's start here. You speak all English. What are we saying?
Okay, let's
speak broken now. You know, go be speaking. You're offending me now.
I'm offending you? This is fun.
You tell me now, say no, yeah, okay. I go now. Well, I say it now.
Honey, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Dismiss yourself. Welcome to 99.43 Nigeria Info. What edge is there to a foreign education? I'm sorry, call me back. This is Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Turn off your radio, please. I mean, I can explain what happened to me. Welcome. What's your name?
Okay, yeah, my name is Kizito.
Yeah, Kizito, please speak up for us and go ahead.
Okay, all right. I will support one caller that was talking about our kind of syllabus content in our school. Do you know, if you look at even some of us that are in Nigeria here currently doing abroad programs, you see that the content of what they teach us are quite different. You see them using real-life case studies.
But isn't it relevant? I mean, it should be different. Yeah, yeah, given that the heads that oversee it are different, but is it relevant?
Well, if you look at the schools here in Nigeria, what they teach you is theories, what is these types of this, types of that. And at the end of the day, you graduate as an economist, for example. And if you go to someone who study economics, maybe in London or Canada, and you will put them side by side, they teach them real-life case studies. Why some employers will look at giving opportunity to people who have studied outside compared to those that have studied here. Because of our educational systems have lapses. So to close that gap between it, so our syllabus has to be modified, has to change. There's this loophole in our content.
Well, I agree to the loophole, but I think the end result isn't necessarily quite different, is there? I mean to the paper now, you see, to the actual obtaining of the paper. Because I think people beyond university walls go out and educate themselves in other forms. I'm a perfect example of that. So I'm thinking that, but when it comes to that paper, University of Hampshire, Pinia, which one are you going to? Pinel, why are you doing home? Speak up. Pinel is running away. Pinel, which one are you going to?
Hertfordshire,
good. And Unilag, what difference is there when it comes to the paper?
Yeah, there's a difference.
There is a difference.
Ah. Because if you look at, for example, Joyce, look at whatever you studied in school. I'm sure you say you studied outside the country. Now, whatever.
I'm not a product of that University of South Africa.
No. Let's look at a similar course here in Nigeria that studied exactly what you studied in school. Look at the course content.
Honestly, I think and this is not me necessarily holding forth for Nigerian systems, but I think that maybe it would be the stress. I feel Nigeria stresses me too much, and I despise Nigeria for that. Besides that, I can manage her, but I despise the stress. I mean, I saw a video or pictures of Nigerian students, you know, outside the examination hall writing because not enough table. I can't do that.
Exactly.
So besides that, I think, in terms of content, there might not be too much difference. I don't know. You disagree.
No, there is. Just look at it. For example, look at it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Adrian is here on Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Welcome.
Okay. Joyce, hi. Good afternoon.
Welcome.
So advantage.
No, more like edge. More like, you know how it is? Just edge. Because if we say advantage, there are advantages. Even like edge. Economic advantage is one.
Okay, so you say Nigerian school, locally schooled, and foreign school.
Yeah.
Now, the reality of the matter is this, I think like a lot of callers before now, have stated clearly the issue of practicalization of what we study.
That's one.
So you see that like in Nigeria, I mean, we talk about how Nigerians go abroad and turn out, you know, much better, and we are the most educated, we are this, we are that, we are super performers in foreign countries.
Yeah.
Why are we able to achieve this much? It's very simple. the hardship that we go through here.
The suffering,
it's kind of like, yes, it's like an aspiration. I went to a state university.
Did you say the suffering is an aspiration?
No, the suffering is what makes us aspire to be better.
Oh, okay.
So you have a guy who studies medicine and surgery in a Nigerian university where you use candle and lantern in your laboratory. These things are real.
Do they use Do they use candles
these
and lanterns?
These things are real. See, I went to a school where in 100 level, we were 18,000 students. We were half the population of the school. Like, I would be in a classroom, a 500-seater classroom, and we would be, 2,000 people. We have another 1,000 outside. Come on.
Wow.
What quality of education can you offer me?
No.
I can count the number of times I attended class in 100 level. Have these things, you go, you read, and you pour it out in exams. Even the people who are supposed to lecture you, see, lecturing is not teaching. Lecturing, you are supposed to pick my brain. You are supposed to enhance my thinking capacity. You understand?
Yeah, absolutely.
You are supposed to allow me to be a solutions provider. We don't do that here. Let's face the reality.
All right.
Okay, why are private universities now getting an edge? You have, CU graduates. We have all the pay stack boys. All the guys who are the super entrepreneurs, tech entrepreneurs of the recent times are guys who went to these private schools because the quality of education is better.
Wow.
But even as that, get me right?
Mm-hmm.
Quality of education is better. Doesn't mean the quality of the individual.
Good.
Is better.
Good.
So we as individuals who have gone through schools where there was a lot of hardship, where the suffering was much, where the wound was blowing us, we were able to acquire a skill set that allows us to survive in better societies. Tenacity. So you have a more well-grounded person. But when it comes to the quality of the education that you have received, it is not it.
All right.
Okay? So yeah. I think that we should clarify that.
You sound like you're speaking from the depths of your soul. I don't know what I saw now.
I know. No. I know. If I call that school and I call that set now, I can bet you that maybe like 6-7 people will call in and verify. I just don't want to start, naming names. And
at this point,
like,
there's no shame in naming names. We're not necessarily trying to.
No, Joyce, don't worry.
We'll cross it. All right. Okay.
You're doing a fantastic job. I've never actually spoken to you on phone before.
Thank you.
You're doing an awesome job.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're 99.3. This is Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Why are you pointing, break? One minute. Good afternoon. You have 1 minute, according to my timekeeper. Hello.
Yeah.
Welcome to Nigeria Info.
Straight to the point, just like the last caller.
That would be good.
It's just the mindset, the mentality, the ideology of our leaders. Because Adeyemi will say something, ideas rule the world. No, when you come out from the environment, you have a different ideology, and people leading you, ruling you, is placing this thing that, okay, you have to put it over these particular people. And because of underdevelopment, you'll be respecting them, so to say.
So wait. Is there an edge in your view? Is there an edge? Did you?
Just the mentality.
Oh, you don't feel like there's really, really an edge. It's just the Nigerian mentality that thinks that there is an edge.
Yeah, you have Ebuka. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ebuka. That was actually a win for you. You're never really that brief. Can we do one more, please? I can't. Off on a break. We'll be right back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Joyce. When we return, the conversation continues on Nigeria Info. Don't go anywhere.
Sunnyside. My name is Joyce. Right here on the show, you'll enjoy the unvanished truth from a people of a rising continent. On Mondays, radioactive. Tuesdays, open thought. Wednesdays, worthy of note. On Thursdays, the Lords of Logic. And on Fridays, oh, what a week.
Wow.
I invite you to the world on the sunny side. Right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Weekday from 12 to 3 p.m.
My name is Joyce.
here today to ask you to teach feminism to the next generation. This is because by the time children grow up to become adults, it might already be too late. My name is Liam Butler, and I am 11 years old. I have feminist parents, I am feminist, and if I do have children, nieces or nephews, I would like for them to also be feminists as well. Feminism to me means that everybody can have the same opportunities, that everybody can have the same power, and that everybody can be equal. Stereotypes are a danger, because if feminism is not taught to children, they will end up believing in the stereotypes. When you walk into a toy shop, you cannot escape the stereotypes that surround you. There's a pink section for girls and a blue section for boys. Look at this picture, for instance. You can see a girl. We know she is a girl because she's wearing a pink dress. She's very pleased to see a doll also wearing a pink dress. But there is a problem with this message. It's that why can't boys learn how to be good fathers? Look at this picture now. Do you recognize him? That's me. How embarrassing. P.S. The embarrassing fact is that I am small, and it should never be about me having the pram in my hands. And why do the colors matter so much anyway? When I was 3, my dad bought me a toy camera. In the shop, all the black ones had been sold, and only pink ones were left on the shelves. When my dad was at the till, and the salesman heard that it was for me, he refused to sell the pink camera to my dad. So he had to wait for the most pointless 15 minutes of his life so that the salesman could go up to the storeroom and come back down with a black camera. But no one would have cared. The problem with stereotypes is that they affect behaviors. For instance, when someone says, ladies first, this promotes the idea that women are defenseless and delicate. Another classic in my school is girls never fart. I know, and you all know, we all know that this is just not true. But when children hear this all the time, they start to behave differently. For instance, I have long hair before I had even longer hair. People used to confuse me for a girl. So if, for instance, if I was in a public toilet, they would ask me to get out. But regardless of how long my hair is, I'm still the same person. It should not matter how long my hair is. I don't want to cut my hair just because people confuse me for a girl. I don't care. Why can't boys have long hair? An adult can either dismantle a stereotype or encourage one. For instance, when I was in sports class, there were 2 teams, one with boys and girls, the other one only girls. In the end, both of them were tied up. So when the teacher came along, she declared the girls team the winner just because they had no boys in their team. This reinforces a stereotype. But in my family, we have a game, and the aim is to, when we see a stereotype, call it out. So even when my sister was 3, and we would enter a toy shop, and that she would see a doll wearing a pink dress, she would yell out, stereotype. Another time, we were in an art gallery with my mum, and she asked me to notice how the men and the women were in the paintings. I noticed that the men were fully dressed in the main part of the picture, while the women were naked or carrying children. Me and my sister know how to notify some stereotypes around us because we talk about it with our parents. But some children don't have adults to talk about these things. Coming to my point, when children grow up to become adults, it might already be too late. As adults, you have a role, and that is to teach feminism to the next generation so that they can grow up in a world with more equality. Thank you.
Activate. We are radioactive on 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Joyce.
Exactly. We're radioactive every Monday. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Joyce. So we're right now talking about, say, the edge that foreign education affords anybody. After that, we're going to talk about feminism. All right. So I needed you to hear that, chew on it, knead on it. And then when we open up the telephone lines, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be asking you the question, how do Nigerians define feminism? What does it mean to you? And do you identify with it? Do you, identify with it? Or do you not identify with it? But that would be coming our way about 1:30. All right. 0700-993-993-993. Welcome if you have just tuned in. Before the break, we were discussing about the possible edge anyone gets from having a foreign education. So let me explain myself how my journey started. I don't know what happened, but the stars aligned. And one day, my parents registered for me to write TOEFL. And that was where, it's not a problem, that was where it all started. I shouldn't have written TOEFL. Now, first of all, I noticed that in class, I don't pay too much attention. I just pay enough attention to not, you know, disrespect the teacher standing in front of the class. But sometimes the teacher is teaching and I'm reading a book. Yeah. And I particularly when the teacher is not in class, I'm probably reading a book, or some girl who likes to watch movies is telling the whole class, no, telling the group of friends, clique of friends, about the movie she watched. Well, you know, we're always doing fun stuff. Or I'm reading. Many times the teacher is reading, teaching, and I'm reading. My Yoruba teacher, God bless her, she tolerated me. I was the only student. So this is what my Yoruba teacher would do in class. She's teaching in Yoruba. I mean, it's Yoruba. So she's teaching in Yoruba. Then she'll look at me and she'll be like, Joyce, do you understand? I'm like, no. Then she'll say in English what she said in Yoruba. In my head, I'm thinking, I'm so sorry I'm putting you through all of this. Maybe you shouldn't even bother about me. She's like, do you understand? I'm like, yeah. So she had to do that extra work of, do you understand? I'm like, no. You're like, oh, okay, so this is what I said and this is the meaning. In my head, I was really saying to her, please don't bother. Please don't bother. My Yoruba was F9. Look, God bless her soul wherever she is, but nah, I don't know. I really hope I didn't put all her effort to waste. Evidently, I must have done that, but I really pray for her and God bless her and her effort. So I wasn't sure where I was going after secondary school. I knew I was going to university. I wasn't even sure if I was interested, but I just knew that it was the next phase of life. Okay, so there we go. And then my father was playing around, and then he was like, oh, you know, I think you should write TOEFL. Huh? Okay. Then I wrote TOEFL the first time ever. And I'm very sure in my mind, I didn't know whether my father could afford the cost of a foreign education. I didn't know that. And I didn't care whether he could. I didn't even mind if he was going to steal. But I knew that I would never school in a Nigerian. That one was sure. Anything else after that, I wasn't sure about, but that was sure. I wrote TOEFL. So this is how TOEFL works. It's a thinking game. That was the problem. So, you know, I'm a thinker. And the way they teach in school, and I was not trying to be classist. I wasn't trying to be elitist. I wasn't even looking for the usual, we're going to America to study because it gives you an edge. I wasn't looking for none of that. The problem was just, they just taught me in a way that I was familiar with, a way that kind of triggered me. That was just it. It was just that. It was just that I wrote TOEFL, and it was more a thinking pattern of teaching than the other way, which was, you know, what we are accustomed to in secondary schools, or say schooling pattern in Nigeria where you have to memorize cram. I wasn't quite good with that. I mean, I didn't fail. You know, I didn't repeat a class ever. It was just, the thing was just not sweet. Let's put it like that. But, you know, I wrote TOEFL and it felt like someone powered on something inside of me. Like there was a factory powered on inside of me. And I just, after TOEFL, I went home. I didn't even know whether I passed the TOEFL or not. I just said to my parents, I don't know what made you ask me to write this thing, but I'm not schooling in this Nigeria. So my mother was like, well, you're not the only child, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, well, God will help you. You see, I don't know what you mean when you say I'm not the only child, but I'm not schooling here. And then my mother was like, why? I'm like, the way the exam was arranged. It was 60 questions, 60 minutes. You had 1 minute for one question. You were good or you were not. There was nothing as sweet as that. Even if I failed, I didn't care. But I liked the fact that it was like that. It was, so it had an element of interest to it. One of my TOEFL courses was American literature. My mother would say, how can you pick that? What do you know about the American history? I'm like, we're here exploring. And that was it. So I wrote TOEFL and I knew I was not going to school here. Because of, you know, the method by which, I mean, the method I encountered writing TOEFL was me. And anything else, every other thing else wasn't me. You know, after writing TOEFL, my parents told me to write JAMB, that I was going to go to a Nigerian university. On my way to write JAMB, my mom was walking me out and I told her, look, let me just tell you, I'm going to fail this thing. She's like, how dare you? What do you mean you're going to fail it? I said, I've told you people I don't want to school in Nigeria. Pray about it. Do something. Like, I'm just not going to school here. She said, look, stop. Don't mess with me. Make sure you don't fail. I'm going to try not to fail, but that's the aim. So I went, wrote JAMB. My score was great. I came back. My father said, hey, you're going to Abuja. So I went to Abuja. But you see, God is wonderful. And God hears the cry of his children. I landed in Abuja the day after registration closed. Registration closed on a Wednesday. I landed in Abuja Thursday. So at least I was terrified because I thought my father would be mad. But I was happy that, hallelujah, this is working out. Now I pick up the phone and I call my dad. I'm like, I'm sorry, but it's closed. He's like, really? Did you speak to somebody? Did you do that? One man even met me and said, you know, bring money, would help you register. I even gave him money. He carried my money around away. But I was happy. I was like, oh, this is good. But my dad is going to be mad. So I was between the fear and the excitement that, God, this is... But then I also had, what if I was just being stupid? Like, why didn't I just, you know? And then I came back. Then my father said he didn't want me to stay at home. So he registered me at the Olabisi Onabanjo University, Ogun State, to study law. So I went in there for a diploma in law. Minutes ago, I told you on radio that you see that arrangement where people are sitting on the fence, sitting on the floor, sitting in the toilet, like for lectures. Ha! So I went there and I just knew that I was back to what it was. And I couldn't, my secondary school was not even that full, but I just knew I couldn't. I just knew that I couldn't. I knew it. Sometimes you have to wake up so early to go to class because it gets so full and you have to stand outside or you have to sit at the window. And then, you know, I'm a recluse. I really didn't have that many friends. But then some people were nice. I get there when I get there. And then someone left a chair for me. But that's after a fight because somebody wanted the chair. Like, who's the ghost on this space? I want to sit down. And I did that thing for a few months. God, this is not going to work. And then I something happened. And I told my father that I really wasn't interested. He's like, yeah. That day, it must have been the Spirit of God because, you know, the kind of parents I have, they never really agree to anything. And then he was like, okay, it's fine. So what do you want to do? Then I got a radio job. Then, oh, everybody was happy about that. And then my father started singing, go to school, go to school. And then someone told my father about, you know, foreign education. I mean, access to foreign education and where I could apply to. So my father told me, oh, you know, somebody told me about this place. I think you should apply. In my head, I'm thinking, am I going to give up radio? Really? Yeah. So like play. Yeah. It not worked. And then the school allowed for either being there physically or distant learning. So you can be anywhere in the world. And I thought my prayers really were answered. So it was really that. It wasn't like I was looking for an edge. It was just that the way I learn is... I like curiosity. I like the element of prying something with logic. I like to dig up something. So if you would allow me, I think it would be, that's my way of learning. So that's really what happened to me. And then as the years evolved and I realized that people actually do think that there is an edge to foreign education. I've spoken to some people who have a foreign education. And honestly, one of the things you're not going to be is pleased. Like, there's really nothing there. It's just another person, maybe with an accent and then a certificate and finish. It's just another human. In fact, and this is me trying to be modest here, it's just really that. But then maybe there are people who, by the privilege of the education that they have this edge. But what is it? When Pinyol goes to, what's that school again? Hertfordshire? Hertfordshire. Hertfordshire. When she goes there and comes back, it's not C Finnish, but I don't know if there's going to... Pinyol, do you think there'll be anything different?
Well, yes. I think there will be... At least for me, yes, there will be. I mean, I went through secondary school in Nigeria. I went through university in Nigeria. And I can say, honestly...
You're one of those Nigerians who just feel like... Let's try this other side of the pancake.
And it's really because I want more than just the exposure, but exposure in terms of knowledge.
Okay.
I know how I struggled with Nigerian university and the way they teach.
Okay.
It was really difficult for me.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not the only person who has that account. So, yeah, yours holds some water. Then so does every other Nigerian's opinion on Nigeria Info. All right, I've told you my story and how I gambled my way and landed somewhere. 0700-993-993-993. Welcome to Nigeria Info, the edge from having foreign education.
Joyce, I'm sorry, I had to call in again.
Oh.
This is Adamia.
Oh, welcome, lady.
Now, I'm going back again to that. Now, I'm going to speak as a professional.
Professional what now? HR? HR, okay. Yes. Okay.
As a HR professional, there is an edge. I'm calling training. Now, when you have students from Nigeria, after studying here, and you put them, you send them to training school, especially if you don't have mediocre training, basically what I try to let them understand, like, look, here, there is no right or wrong answer, and I'm just here to teach you the kitchen of what you learned in the theory of what you learned in school. So what we do in what you got in the university was basically the theory.
Okay.
Now, you just understand, I'm taking you into the kitchen. So I use the kitchen because I'm a woman. So I just let you understand the basics.
But isn't that because you're maybe prejudiced against the Nigerian method of education?
No, I'm not prejudiced against Nigerians because I have both. And
okay.
I understand that, like you rightly said, it's another paper. But it's the way you react to what you have. The attitude, the way you respond to what you have. Some people still go out there. After learning, they come back empty. They still don't have anything to show for it.
Yeah.
Some people go out there, come back, and they're able to apply what they learned.
Okay.
So it's an individual thing. You see somebody who, oh, yeah, it's true. This is what I've been looking for, just like you. You know, so I'm able to put it back. So they come back, they want to be entrepreneurs, they want to practice. They don't want to answer yes to somebody. Even when they get a paid job, you find out that they want to apply. They want you to understand, okay, no, it does. You see the difference in what I have learned as an individual, as against what I read. So when I get the Nigerian student who now got that job, because that student actually was quite good, now get the job and get into the training school, and you just see the look on their face, oh my God. So this is just, you understand? And you just take that aspect of that, what they learned in school, and you just drop it.
All right.
And you dissect it and let them understand. They're like, you see them, they run with it. I've seen them, and they do so well.
So well.
Because they begin to think practically as against the theoretical aspect of what they learned.
Well,
I think
thank
that's
you.
Just basically what it is.
Thank you very much. The Sunny Side. Good afternoon. Welcome to Nigeria Info. We're on the edge of a foreign education. That's the topic. Welcome. What's your name?
Awesome.
Welcome. What's your name?
Junior. My name is Junior.
Junior, we're happy to have you. Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. First of all, I would only speak about what I studied, which is architecture.
Architecture, yeah.
Yes. And I feel like I've listened to a lot of the HRs speaking on your show. I don't know if it's a lot of them or it's just one person that I can't remember.
Okay.
I don't know about that, but it seems like there's a little bit of over prejudice against Nigerians. And
you feel so too? You feel there's a prejudice against Nigerians?
Yeah,
okay, you know what?
Nigeria.
Hold on a second, please. I want to go off on a break. Please call me back.
Okay.
Thank you, please. Off on a break. We'll be right back on Nigeria Info's The Sunny Side.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.